ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेयौपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः ॐ। ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़् आल्सो स्ट्रेन्थ् अण्ड् आल् दि आर्गन्स् बिकम् वेल् डेवलप्ड्। Everything is the Brahman revealed in the Upanishads. May I not deny Brahman? May not Brahman deny me? Let there be no spurning of me by Brahman. Let there be no rejection of Brahman by me. May all the virtues that are spoken of in the Upanishads repose in me, who am engaged in the pursuit of the Self. May they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are discussing the Gayatri Upasana. This Upasana of Gayatri Brahma comes in the third chapter, 12th section of this very Chandogya Upanishad. Here, Gayatri is described as Shabda Brahma. As we all know, some people are sound oriented. How do we know? These people whose orientation is towards the sound, they can remember sounds for a longer period of time. Names, telephone numbers, and generally they will be good at calculating, etc. They become very good musicians. But there are some people who are form oriented. And they become very good painters. They can remember the names, the faces of people, sceneries, beautiful, ugly. They can recognize the faces of people, but may not remember their names. So, most of us do not have much of either, but a combination of both. But some people, they are sound-oriented. Some people are sight-oriented. So what difference does it make? When sound-oriented people worship God, they like to chant. They place emphasis on the sounds. So they can hear. The mantras can come in the form of sound called Shabda Brahma. So a marvelous philosophy has been started that is called Spotavada. Shabda Brahma. And the normal things they describe about visions of gods, goddesses with various forms, etc. So that is how we know. In this particular section, Gayatri as Shabda Brahma is being revealed very much. And we have seen almost four mantras we have completed, the essence of which is Gayatri is everything, the past, the present, the future, everything that we experience as this creation is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. Only difference we have to note and emphasize, it is Shabda Brahma. So that is why Omkara can be contemplated both as sound as well as in the form of Saguna Brahma. Of course, Nirguna Brahma has nothing to do either with sound or sight. So, differences of opinions, quarrels may erupt. There is no need. That's why Sri Ramakrishna's philosophy is a most appropriate philosophy. It's not how a devotee, a spiritual aspirant, is approaching God, but how the devotee is able to transform his life, his body, which is not that very important, even though important, but how his character is formatted. In other words, is he becoming unselfish? Unselfishness is a marvelous word. It represents love, equality, self-sacrifice, giving away everything that one has, everything equal, looking upon everybody as equal to one's own self. All these ideas are compressed in that one word that is called unselfishness, nisvardhata. Svarthata means confining oneself to the limited, which is one's own body and mind and possessions, and which includes family members, close relatives, religious members of the same culture, etc., or even the same language. So, the goal is to go beyond these limitations, and that which is unlimited is called Brahman. And this is not a new idea here. It is the same idea we have seen in the Mandukya Upanishad, Ayamatma Brahma, Mandukya Upanishad, very first mantra which I quoted yesterday, says Brahman or Omkara is everything. Omkara and Gayatri are the same. So there are several things are there. In the second mantra, which we discussed, Yavaisa Gayatri Iyam Vava Sa Ya Iyam Prithivyasyam Hi Idam Sarvam Bhutam Pratishtitam Etam Eva Na Atishiyati. This Gayatri is manifesting as this creation. And this earth here means creation, for everything that exists here rests on this earth and doesn't go beyond. It's not merely our earthly planet, but whether it be Mars or stars or Saturn, anything that is all included in this word earth. And the same idea has been expressed also, we have seen, both in the Purusha Suktam as well as Narayana Suktam, and practically in every Suktam. Only the names change. If it is Sri Suktam, Sri is everything. If it is Narayana Suktam, Narayana is everything, Brahman. If it is Vishnu Suktam, Vishnu is everything. If it is Purusha Suktam, Purusha is everything. Not only everything, the whole creation is but an infinitesimal part of his glory. Ekam shena sthito jagat. So, not to be calculated, eka means 1%. No, it is not even 1%. Actually, infinity cannot be divided. One portion is manifesting, it is the finite world. Anything that is created, effect, is called limited. No, it is not like that. It is to connect us that whatever we see is nothing but infinite. But we see the infinite because of the instruments, which is the mind and which depends upon the sense organs. And these are limited. Therefore, our experience is limited. Therefore, our ideas are limited. And that is what is called finiteness. Sahasra Sirsha Purushaha. That is Purusha, or the Divine Lord. He is having 1,000 heads. That means, not 1,000. Every head that we see is God's head. Every eye we see, Sahasrakshaha, that is God's eye. Every hand, every leg, everything that we see is nothing but Brahman with names and forms. And then, lest we may say, oh, so Brahman is only like this and nothing more. No, so that Purusha, Bhumim Vishvato Vritva, that is, he envelops this whole creation. Vishva means creation. Atyatishtat Dashangulam. but he extends 10 inches more. So here, like 1,000 heads, 1,000 hands, 1,000 eyes, it is not 10 inches. That means this infinite is being looked at through our limited mind in a limited way. So the problem is not the God, problem is our instrument. So if we can get rid of the instrument, then we can have full vision of the divine. What is the meaning of getting rid of the instruments? That is disidentifying. I am not the body, I am not the mind, etc. Purusha eva idagum sarvam yad bhutam yacca bhavyam uta amrutatvam sya ishanaha yad annena atirohati etavanasya mahima. This is a glory. Ato jayagumsya. He is far, far beyond what we can conceive. Both this who, Purushaha, this divine being, Pado Asya Vishwabhutani, a small part of him is manifesting as this entire creation. Tripad Asya Amritam Divi, but three-fourths of him is above all the creation. But as I mentioned, it is not mathematical calculation. So that is what he says. So, tato vishvam vyakramat sa ashana anashane abhi. That means everything is Brahman. Sarvam kalvitam Brahma. If we have right knowledge, we see only one object. It is called vastu, it is called Brahman. But if our mind is full of thoughts, we see Brahman with as many thoughts as we have, small and big, good and evil, male and female, here and there, born and death, dying, all these are thoughts in the mind. That's why I quoted from other places also. Now we will proceed. The fourth mantra, yadvai tat purushe sariram idam vava tad yad idam asmin antah purushe hridayam asmi ime pranaha pratishtitaha. Etat eva na atishiyante. Now, Rishi wants us to focus. This body is of course Brahman, but this body is a greater limitation. Within the body there are pranas. They are more pervasive, like pranamaya kosha. And then there is a hridaya, vijnanamaya kosha, which is much more subtle, more pervading, and which is the ruler. Pranamaya kosha is the ruler of the annamaya kosha. Manomaya kosha is the ruler of the pranamaya kosha. Vijnanamaya kosha is the ruler of the manomaya kosha. Anandamaya kosha is the ruler of the vijnanamaya kosha. Brahman is the controller, the ruler of anandamaya kosha. So that is what his fourth mantra wants to tell us, that body in man, that means man's body, and again it has a heart within that body, and the pranas exist in this body, sustain it, and it is with the prana body is born. Pranas continues because of the pranas, and when the pranas depart, body also falls aside. That means it merges in its causal elements, and nobody can go beyond it. And this idea we have explored. You will have to go back in the Narayana Sutta. Tasyaha shikhaya madhye paramatma vyavasthitaha. There is a flame near the heart, and Bhagavan, Paramatma, is established or manifest, more available for understanding in the form of knowledge, in the form of light, in that heart. And he is called by various names. Sa Brahma, Sa Shivaha, Sa Harihi, Sa Indraha. And he is called Brahma, he is called Shiva, he is called Hari, he is called Indra, he is called Christ, he is called Buddha, he is called God, etc. So Aksharaha, Paramaha, Swarat. He is his own ruler. Swarat means one's own ruler. That means nobody can rule him. So he is the supreme ruler. And he is Ksharaha. He is beyond time. Kshara means that which attenuates, that which slowly decays. That is called Kshara. That's why when Hindus start this, what is called Akshara Abhyasa. The very name Akshara Abhyasa, the habit of slowly trying to reach that state of what is called inexhaustible, indeclinable. Kshara means that which becomes less and less, gets destroyed. Akshara means its opposite. So, then we also have seen in the fifth mantra, Saisha Chatushpada Shadvidha Gayatri Tadetat Richabhya Suktam Uktam. That Gayatri has 4 feet and is 6-fold. So, I told in that context that there are hundreds of Gayatris are there and hundreds of more Gayatris will be invented in the future. Every Ishtadevata, chosen deity, will have its own Gayatri. So we have our own Gayatri of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda. The devotee, votary of every particular aspect of God has created, or some teachers have invented. There is Krishna Gayatri, there is Vishnu Gayatri. I am going to quote a few just to support what we have discussed. So, it is not that Gayatri is one, but that Rigvedic Gayatri that has become the most popular, and every other Gayatri is only molded in that mold, only substituting certain words which indicate, which increase the devotion of the devotee. So here it is a four feet, means four parts, four lines, and Shadvidha. So what is the Shadvidha? This Gayatri is manifesting in six ways. How? As a speech, as all the creatures, as the earth, as every body, as every heart, and every prana. Speech and vital airs, though mentioned in connection with something else, are nothing but manifestations of this Gayatri. So I am going to give you few examples just so that we can understand. Gayatris are many, but Gayatri is only one. That is to say, I take refuge in you, so you take over me and you guide this body and mind. Do they belong to me? No. Everybody is compared in the Upanishads as a chariot, the sense organs as the horses or engines. And there are different pathways. In the Bhagavad Gita also, Indriyani Hayanyahu. So these sense organs are called the horses. So what is meant is that this body, this mind, and everything that we think is belonging to this body and mind, to this personality, to this individual, actually it is nothing but God. It came from God, and it is sustained, maintained by God, and it goes back to God. It belongs to God. Not only that, it is God. That is the idea. So, I take refuge in you. For that, I go on meditating upon you. And I know that out of your grace, you will remove my ahankara. Not aham, but ahankara. Aham is one. Ahankaras are many. As many creatures, as many objects, so many karas are there. So, as an example of this comes in the Narayana Suktam. Om Narayanaya Vidmahe Vasudevaya Dhimahi Tanno Vishnu Prachodayat. Then Sri Ramakrishna. Om Ramakrishnaya Vidmahe. This is for Holy Mother. Om Ramakrishnaya Vidmahe Sharadeshwari Dhimahi Tanno Durge Prachodayat. We meditate upon Sri Ramakrishna, so that he will give us the understanding that our true mother is Sharadeshwari, Sharada Devi. So this we surrender to this Sharada Devi. And who is she? She is the Durga. That means one who protects us and saves us from this transmigration. She is called Durga. Tanno Durgi Prachodayat. And what about Ramakrishna? Om Gadadharaya Vidmahe Ramakrishnaya Dhimahi Tanno Devaha Prachodayat. The meaning is the same. But here, his name was Gadadhara. Gadadhara is another name for Lord Vishnu. But in this incarnation, he is called Ramakrishna. So, we let us become one, merge in Gadadhara, and we do for that purpose, meditate or take refuge in Ramakrishna. Then, he will reveal his real nature, which is called Devaha, and he will save us, Prachodayat. Then, what about Vivekananda? Why Vivekananda? Every Jivan Mukta, every realized soul is none other than Brahman. In our order, Om Vivekanandaya Vidmahe, Yati Rajaya Dhimahi, Tanno Rishi Prachodayat. So, these are only just a few samples to show that not only there were many Gayatris, and if you go to the internet, search various Gayatris, you will get hundreds of Gayatris. But all Gayatris have only Brahman. I want to become one with Brahman. Therefore, I meditate upon that visible splendor of Aditya or Surya, because I cannot directly meditate upon Brahman. I know Brahman exists. I know I am coming from Brahman. I know I am manifestation of Brahman. That is only intellectual knowledge. I want to convert into experiential knowledge. Therefore, I surrender myself to this visible God, who is called Aditya. Tat Savetuhu Varenyam Bhargaha Devasya. Bharga means the most desirable splendor. And what should he do? Out of his infinite grace, let him remove my finiteness, so that there is no I and he. There is only one. Call it I, call it he. It doesn't matter. So, this is what is being said in the sixth mantra. Tavanasya mahima, tato jayansya purushaha, padosya sarva bhutani, tripadasya amrutam divi. Such is the greatness of Brahman through this particular symbol of Gayatri. Greater than it is the person Brahman. One of its feet, one part of Brahman, covers all beings, all creation. But the rest, which is called immortality, is rest of the three feet in heaven. That means beyond creation. This is for the limited people of limited understanding, finite understanding. This is what is called mathematical calculation. One-fourth is of Brahman is manifesting in the form of this world, and the rest of it is beyond, which is called Nirguna, Nirakara, Nirvisesha. And that is what is also said, Yaccha Kinchit Jagat Sarvam, Rishyate Shoyate Piva, Antar Bahishchatat Sarvam, Vyapya Narayana Sthitaha. Again this is Narayana Suktam. Yaccha Kinchit Jagat Sarvam, whatever part of the world, Drishyate Shriyate Piva. We are experiencing, we are seeing, and we are hearing, indicating, we are experiencing through the every sense organ. How many organs are there? 10. So if I am walking 1 foot, that is the symbolism of the story of Bali and Vamana, Vamana Avatara. So the whole universe is nothing but Brahman only. But because of my limitation, I am only seeing it, hearing it, tasting it, touching it, etc. Antar bahishya, inside outside. There is no inside outside. Tat sarvam, so everything, vyapya, pervading, Narayana Stita. Narayana is one who is manifesting both inside and outside. Then what is in between? That is also Narayana only. I gave the example of an ice cave made in the Arctic area. So there will be water inside, and some part of the water had frozen, became like a cave, and it as if divides the water into two, inside and outside, but it makes lot of difference. Inside water is just the most suitable temperature for sharks, for whales, for so many marine creatures to give birth and to make them grow. After 6 months or so, then they can stand the severe cold or the freezing conditions of the external world. So that is how the same water in the form of ice dividing, as it were. So what divides is also water. What is inside is also water. What is outside is also water. But our Advaita Vedanta gives the example of Ghatakasha and Mahakasha. So when we make a pot, before the pot is created, there is only one space, unbroken, undivided, untouched. But the moment a pot is created, then as if that pot contains that space, which is called pot space, Ghata Akasha. And as if it is inside, it is different than the space which is outside. Actually, as if the pot is something which is dividing the indivisible. But we also discussed, this pot also is nothing but condensation of the space only. How come? Space becomes air, air becomes fire, fire becomes water, water becomes earth, and this pot is nothing but made out of the earth. But what is the original cause? Only space. But space itself is a created thing. So who is the cause of space? Atman. So what is this Mahakasha? Atman. What is the Ghatakasha? Atman. What is the Ghata? Atma. In the same way, the outside Akasha, inside Akasha, space outside, space inside. And as we mentioned, studied earlier, there are three types of spaces are there. So, Bahya Akasha, Chitta Akasha, and Chit Akasha. Do not get confused between Chit and Chitta. That is, the space in which our physical body is moving is called external space. That space in which our mind means thoughts, means ideas of knowledge are floating, they are born, and they stay, and they become merged. That is called Chitta Akasha. Chitta is another name for various thoughts. Mind. Mind space. But what is sustaining both? That is called Chit Akasha. Chit means pure consciousness. That is how we have to understand. So in this 8th mantra of this 12th section of the 3rd chapter, I am Vava Sayo, I am Antaha Purusha Akasho, Yo Vaiso Antaha Purusha Akashaha. So that space which is outside a person is the same as that which is inside a person. And that space, Akasha here, which is outside a person, is the same as that which is inside a person. So the idea is, though it may appear to be two types of spaces, or in our parlance, three types of spaces, Bahya Akasha, Chitta Akasha, Chit Akasha, really speaking, it is one Akasha perceived through the body is called Bahya. That which is perceived by the mind is called Chitta Akasha. That which is perceived by Sattva Guna or purified mind, that is called Chidakasha. That is the idea. I am Vava Sayo I am Antar Hridaya Akashaha Tad Etat Purnam Ap Pravarti. पूर्णाम् अप्रवर्तिनीम् श्रेयम् लभते य एवम् वेद. सो दैट आकाश विच इज इनसाइड ए पर्सन इज द आकाश विद इन द हार्ट. देर इज नो डिफरेंस एट ऑल. देन व्हाई डू वी कॉल आउटसाइड आकाश एंड इनसाइड आकाश? दैट इज बिकॉज from the viewpoint, Akasha is not outside or inside. We have to understand this idea clearly. That Akasha, because of our identity with the body, we consider, I am in this hall, that is called hall space, hall Akasha. I am inside the house, that is called Griha Akasha. I am within this hall, that is called Shala Akasha. So, all these are names because of the upadhi, a limiting adjunct. Only from the viewpoint of the limiting adjunct, this is external, this is mental, and this is spiritual. But really speaking, one akasha, when it is perceived through purified mind, we know that is God. Because akasha means the final cause of everything. The whole creation. But even, as I said, even this Akasha is not final. Even though we say it is one, unlimited, but we have to say it is limited only. Limited by what? Limited by time. Limited by another vastu. So, limitation in the most subtle form, and that is what we had been discussing just now. This is house space. This is pot space, and this is stomach space. And as some Swami made fun, if we can't understand it, there is space within the mud in the brain. So, the same one akasha has been described variously. What does this Gayatri Mantra in this 12th chapter want to say through this? Because akasha is one. Just like akasha is one, Brahman is one, Gayatri is one, the cause is one. But actually, from the Advaita point of view, we don't call Brahman as cause. Is not Brahman the cause? Only so long as we are aware of the effect, Brahman is a cause. But if we get rid of the idea that this is an effect, then automatically, with the disappearance of the object, the disappearance of the subject also disappears. Object is the effect, subject is the cause. That is the understanding. So this is the glory of Shabda Brahma in the form of Gayatri symbol, and for that the Upasana is given. Naturally, the question that comes, why should I do this contemplation of Gayatri as Brahman? Gayatri Brahma Upasana. What do I get out of it? Because we are always looking. If I realize God, what do I get? I get mukti. So that is our desire. We want to get mukti. What do I get by this Gayatri Upasana? The counter question should be, what is it you don't get? Everything you get. Brahman means infinity. You get infinity. In fact, to say you get infinity is a misnomer. You were infinite, you are infinite, you will be infinite, but then you do not know, I do not know, we do not know that we are Brahman. That not knowing our true nature, and that is called obtainment. Really, there is nothing to obtain. Just a beautiful discussion. So, karma can never, karma means sadhana here. Sadhana means contemplation. Through karma, nobody can obtain Brahman. Why? Because the results of karma are only four. And if I tell you what the Vedanta had discovered, you will not get a fifth result of karma. Whatever action we do, it only yields four results. What is the first thing? It is called apyam. So, it is called apyam. Second is called utpatti. Third is called samskara. Fourth is called vikara. What do these four mean really? So the first order is, some object is not there. So we produce through karma a new object. In fact, these ideas are nursery school ideas. Really speaking, nobody can produce anything. But with our limited intellect, we say, for example, there is 200 years before, there was no aeroplane. Therefore, somebody, what did they do? They did not create aeroplane. They took different parts of what is already existing, modified them, and brought them together with the help of scientific knowledge, and we are able to fly like birds. So, it is not a new creation, but it is a new combination of the same old creation. First time when human being had created wheel. So, do you mean to say there was no wheel? Billions and billions of wheels were there already, made by nature. Maybe an ice cube looks like a wheel. So the idea is that it is the easiest form of transportation. Somebody observed it. Oh, if it is flat, it travels very slowly. But if it is round, then it can roll very quickly. And especially from a higher grade, higher level to a lower level, very quickly. Of course, the opposite also. That is what happens when water flows, always from a higher altitude to a lower altitude. Nobody has seen water climbing from a lower altitude to a higher altitude. So, man observed it. So, it is possible to increase the speed, reduce the time to reach a destination. So, that is how slowly through the observation of what is called nature, this wheel is created. Then things will be easily digestible if we can create something that is cooking. And this also from observation. Forest fires, something is cooked, not rendered into cinders, ashes, but well cooked. And when the person went and tasted that flesh, maybe of a bird, of an animal, it was tender and it was easily digestible, then he discovered, this is what I am looking for. So, observation of nature, including WWW, a man was observing spider web, and that is how the World Wide Web, WWW, has been created. Whatever is already existing has been modified to suit our particular desires, our particular conveniences. That is what we need to understand. So, what is the point? There is no new creation, same creation, modified to suit our needs. And this human being has been doing in the form of manufacturing tools, etc. Everything is a tool only. A cooking pot is a tool, a bicycle is a tool, a car is a tool, aeroplane is a tool, a rocket is a tool. Everything is nothing but a tool, and the dress is a tool, etc., etc. What about medicine? That is also a tool only. Medicine, in fact, exists. That is why our Vedic rishis called all these plants Oshadayaha, that which cools down the heat. Oshadhi, dha means that which burns. So, that which cools, that is called a medicine. So, what I am trying to tell, creation is nothing but original substance exists. Only thing is, it becomes modified and we also modify it to suit our purpose, our air conditioning, our creating what is called the cooling fan. Everything is but whatever was existing, we modify it. There is nothing called new in this world. So, coming back, so we want something. So, through karma, through action, what is the first thing? So, there is a tool which would be highly useful for my comfort. So, I created, this is called Utpatti. And nobody can create Brahman, because Brahman is ever present. It is never born, it is not going to die. Then, Apyam, second result of karma is, I want something, but it is not available where I am. But if I travel to the next village perhaps, or another shop at a slight distance, that is available there. Apya means obtaining. So it is there already, and I do not possess it, but it is available for purchasing or borrowing, but I have to take the trouble, go somewhere. Brahman is not to be obtained. Why? Because it is everywhere. You don't need to go anywhere. Brahman is already existing, ever existing, and Brahman is available everywhere. It never becomes less or more. What is the third thing? Vikara. A part is broken, so you repair it. Karma, what is karma? You fix it together, remove the defects, make it useful. That is called correcting the, what is called vikara, and that is the third effect of karma. Brahman never becomes old, never changes, and therefore it doesn't have any parts. Therefore, there is no question of one part coming loose and we again fix. Brahman's leg is gone, so we fix another artificial leg, a robotic leg, whatever it is, that is also not possible. What is the fourth effect of Brahman? Brahman never becomes old. Purapi nava. That is the one meaning of the Purana. Puranas never become old, because the truth never becomes old. Truth never changes. But we may mistake the truth. That is a different issue. So the fourth result of any karma, say your brass pot has become besotted. So therefore you buy some brass polish or gold polish, silver polish or wood polish, whatever it is, and then you remove those stains, etc. This is called samskara. So these are the four effects. If nobody can show any effect of karma action other than these four, because Brahman is ever infinite, he is never born and he never becomes old and he doesn't have parts, therefore karma can never obtain Brahman. Then what is the meaning of the obtainment of Brahman? That we are unable to understand that we are Brahman, and that is called ajnanam or ignorance. So through spiritual practice, we get rid of this ignorance. That getting off rid of this ignorance is called contemplation. So as we approach, approaching is not a physical movement. Approaching means as we purify our mind becomes more and more cleansed mirror. It is able to reflect what is in front of it. When it is perfectly cleansed, then we see what is in front of it. I stand in front of the mirror. The mirror doesn't show I am a human being. It shows I am Brahman. You stand in front of the mirror. You are not a woman. You are Brahman. Because the what is called cleansing, that Brahman is not the body. That means I am not the body. I am not the mind. I am not also the third state. I am not a prajna. Therefore, when all these, I am not Vishwa, I am not Tejasa, I am not prajna, I am not sthula sharira, gross body, I am not the subtle body, sukshma sharira, I am not the causal body, karana sharira. When these things are removed, the truth will come out. These are like coverings. You stand in front of a mirror with three coverings, completely covered. Imagine. Then, one by one, if you are born in these three coverings, so you know yourself, I am this outermost covering. But one day will come when you are able to get rid of it, then you say, oh, I mistook, I thought that I was that, but I was this. This second one is also a mistake. Then, after some time, you enter into the, remove all the first two coverings, enter into the third, with the third covering, and that is called Sushupti, a deep sleep state, and then you come out and say, I thought I was the third covering, but that is also gone. So when we enter into sleep dream state, the outermost covering is removed. When we enter into the deep sleep state, that sukshma, that is subtle body covering, subtle covering is also gone, intellectually, cognitively. And when we wake up, the third covering is also gone. We understand, I am not the deep sleep. That means I am not the, even the third covering. After some time, this leads, then each covering is completely negated. Then I must be free of all the three. Then who am I? Therefore, I cannot say, I am so. Simply, I can only say, I am. Aham. And that is expressed in an explicit manner, Aham Brahmasmi. So, the same Brahman which is outside, the same Brahman is inside. So, anybody who understands this, what happens? Sriyam Labhate attains the greatest welfare, greatest attainment, which is called Mukti. Ya evam Veda. Who knows? He who knows this obtains that infinite Brahman by in the form of knowing Aham Brahmasmi. With this, the 9 mantras of the 12th section of the 3rd chapter are over. Now we will discuss the symbolic significance. There are two significances. The what is called gross or normal understanding, and then the spiritual understanding, and it is the spiritual understanding which is most important, which we will do in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.